Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rob.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me today. With the state of the world today, I am particularly interested in having on as a guest today a woman. I like the fact that it's a woman. I like the fact that we're going to have this conversation, because on any level, we have seen that fundamentalism in religion is a topic that is wildly on the increase. It's on the increase. It's something we're really uncomfortable having conversations about. It's something that we don't know how to have conversations about. And yet it's something that we should be having conversations about all the frigging time, because as we all know, everything you talk about somehow de-escalates the ability of it to suppress. Everything that we can talk about and bring up to the open and bring out is always going to be better for us. So I want to have that conversation today. And I have also, I want to flag that this is not an easy conversation for anyone to have. I'm deeply frivolous and flippant in my conversations because that entertains me. I will continue to do that so during this conversation, because I don't think this is a topic that is flippant. I don't think it's a frivolous topic, and therefore one should find places to laugh, to connect us with each other, because it's the most bloody important thing in the world when you're having these conversations. So let's have that as a disclaimer. And please join the conversation that I'm going to have now. Enjoy it to the extent that you can. Hopefully you're going to be, as always, inspired and learn something from our amazing guest, because I know that I am going to be, because I basically cheat. You know that I have everyone on here just so I can ask them questions, so I can learn shit that I just didn't know before. And that's what we're doing here. And hopefully y'all are here to learn that with me. So having said all that, please welcome with me Cassandra Cassandra, I forgot how to pronounce your surname again. In 30 seconds, Dan.
Yes.
Cassandra Dan. Well, because she spells it a little different. I'm not thick. It just spelled different. And I'm so grateful that you have come on our show. Thank you so much. And I want to talk about this very difficult topic, because you do it in a beautiful way and you wear bright pink while you're doing it. And I think that's important. Fundamentalism tends to be very much the provenance of men, you know, and because religion has become the provenance of men. And I think this is unreasonable and unfair, because as always, it is always women and children that are most affected by this, and we don't get a say. So I want today to be a platform for us to have that conversation. So please, I mean, I asked you, what was it about religious, what was the phrase you used? You used a beautiful phrase where you said religiously abusive. And I said, what does that mean? And you said religious fundamentalism. And I'm like, okay, we're here. So please talk a little bit about, what did you mean by a religiously abusive home?
Absolutely. And what a beautiful introduction. And thank you so much, Geeta, for having me. I'm really excited about this conversation and the timing of it. So when I mention religious abuse, so my personal belief is that the upbringing that I experienced in itself was challenging. However, on top of being raised in a fundamentalist Christian home, which when I talk about this as far as fundamentalism, it's a group of people who take the Bible very, very literally. Mm-hmm. There's no room for error. There's no room for interpretation. It's very so. Yes, very, very by the book, taken very literally. And not only was I raised in this environment, however, on top of that, my mother had her own interpretations that she liked to add to this. And so my brother and I were raised in a home where, first off, we have very few memories because a lot of them were repressed. My mother was very much consumed with it's hard to even describe, because ultimately she left the church to call herself an apostle and start her own sort of interpretation of what was already a very restrictive and dogmatic religion. She was very much drawn into things being of the devil, things being evil. We were very sheltered in what we had access to, including conversations or connections with our own family members. She had a love for performing deliverance, which is where you're casting out demons of individuals. And there's some pretty deep stories I can go into as far as that goes. But elaborating what I call religious abuse is when someone takes whatever religion it is and ends up using it for ill intent to their own agendas, which
for their own ends, right?
Yeah, which is hard for me because I have a lot of opinions of fundamentalist Christianity and from the get-go. I mean, even the Bible wasn't even introduced until 300 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And
I'm always saying that. How is it that we never have these conversations? And then yes, it was tweaked again and again. And like
exactly,
the Council of Nicaea, like removing all evidence of women having been involved. It was rewritten by a group of white men.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It was very selective. And, you know, there's so many.
Just give me a sec. I want to know, because for me, it's always about the human part, right? So explain this to me. What is it that, how do you know you are in a restrictive and a fundamentalist environment? How the hell do you find that out? How does it seep in? Do you look around and think what, or how do you know? And were you homeschooled?
I was not. My brother was. So I'm the older child. I was not, but he was. I was in school, but we had, in addition to all the complications, there was a very unsettled relationship between my mother and father. So there, what we saw at home was very different than the costumes they would put on in the church. And there were times where my brother and I had to actually be taken out of the home because it was violent. And sad to say, this escalated the more involved they got in the church,
they weren't fully involved in the beginning. And then as you got older, they got more involved.
Yes, exactly.
And where were you physically? Is this in the USA?
Yes, yes, yeah. And regarding your question of like, what was that point in which I realized this is what is taking part. This is, I've identifying as someone that was brought up in a religiously abusive home. The sad part is that it was not till much, much later in my life that I had this realization. There were, ultimately, I have been disowned by both of my parents. My whole family has. And there was a time.
My whole family has. What do you mean? Like, who else?
Well, myself, my husband, and their grandson, which is so hard, you know, that, you know, you have to try to have that conversation with such a young mind about why someone doesn't want to be a part of their life and come around anymore. It would be one thing.
It wasn't a full-time thing. It was recent.
It's actually in my journey, it's happened twice. And the last one was in 2020, which was a year before my spiritual awakening, which was an insane experience.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I definitely want to talk about your spiritual awakening, because again, within that, there is the space between religion versus spirituality. So that's another, you know, interesting conversation.
Yes.
I want to go back to this concept that when you're a child and you're brought up with certain religious tenets, whatever those are, you don't really question them, do you?
No.
You just accept this as being completely normal because it's your normal.
Yes.
And then the second problem becomes that when you go to school and you know everyone else is different, then you bring it even further inside and bring it down and suppress it, because you retreat more, because you're like, oh, wow, I can't talk about this. I'm not going to talk about this. And then it becomes about keeping it safe and private, which isolates you even more, right? Because you're, then you add into this, because one of the things that I'm picking up from what you're saying is that it isn't just the fundamentalism, but then it becomes violence within that.
Yes.
So is the violence justified by the fundamentalism?
You know, I would say...
By your parents, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think it was the core reasoning. Rather, I think that it was sort of, how would I say, the cheerleader of the topic, because I see and have grown to understand that when we don't confront those traumatic circumstances in life, when we don't decide to self-reflect, that what happens is we're not really evolving and growing. And so I feel like it was rather used as a, you know, it was, the dysfunction was already there. And I mean,
like an expression of the fundamentalism.
Yeah. I mean, my heart goes out to my mother and father, how they were raised. And there's so much, you know, unfortunate circumstances there. But instead of healing, evolving, growing from that, you know, it was, religion was often used as an excuse. I think it was kind of a blinder that just clouded the ability to self-reflect. Because one of the things, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that contributes, for example, my grandmother told me once that when I talked about my desire to help other people, she says, that's not within your capability. That's up to the Lord. That's up to God. And so there's this belief that we're not going to deal with our trauma. We're not going to deal
because you are given, and then it's God's. God can give and God can take away.
Yes. Very disempowering.
Very disempowering. And the other thing I find interesting is that my clients, my coaching clients who've grown up in very strong faith families, the girls are not given boundaries. Because you're not almost allowed to have boundaries, because actually it's all for service and it's for God. And
therefore,
how can you possibly say no, because you're not allowed to, right? I want to go on a quick break. And when we come back, Cassandra, I want to talk to you about how it is that fundamentalism and approval, societal approval, become the same thing, you know, because I think there is much room there for abuse, actually, on some levels. We're just going to go on a quick break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it that you think about the concept that when you don't get approval, there is a home for you in a kind of a fundamentalist religion? Because what happens is that as long as you go kind of by the book, and the more extreme you are, the more you're approved of, and nobody gives a damn how you feel inside, it becomes about your behavior, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that has been probably the core of my experience and my journey and what I've had to come out. I entered into the world as an adult completely clueless. We were not taught, you know, we were taught everything to do as I say, don't question. We weren't allowed watching TV. I mean, I had no understanding of the outside world, but yet this intense desire within me to satisfy, to please, to do what I was told.
Well, then just imagine that. Hang on a minute, Cassandra. Let's expand this as a concept. If someone says to you, wear this bomb and go over there, because the minute you do that thing, you are going to be approved of and loved by your God. Well, you're kind of going to do it, aren't you?
If you have people that are raised in these environments where they are conditioned to wrap up their essence of everything, and let's face it, when we're talking about fundamentalism, you're talking from the belief that in the beginning, when it comes to Christianity, your mere existence is sinful and bad and evil, and you need forgiveness. You need somebody to fix you because you're not right. And so it instantly creates this mindset of, I want to be fixed. How do I be fixed? How can I? And then when you have people.
God. Oh, clever. So you're constantly striving to please.
Yes.
And so you're trapped because you're in this feedback loop of, I'm not good enough. Let me please you. I'm not good enough. Let me please you.
Yes. Yes. And in my
I've never broken it down like that. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, you're fine. And even on a very surface level in my career, once I did sort of disconnect from as much as I could from this, upbringing, I noticed in my career, I kept experiencing burnout and issues. And I tried all the business things and all the, everything I could, but yet I always landed in the same place. And then one day I realized what was actually going on under the surface. And it was exactly that. I was programmed and trained to constantly satisfy and meet the needs of others. So I didn't know boundaries. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know, if I didn't make somebody in relationships, if people didn't stay, I was the one wrong. I must have not been, adequate.
A whole new meaning to being a sheep in the fold.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
Because if you think about the Bible, you could take every word of. Okay. So then let's take it another step. That means that the person translating word for word, the literality, is therefore the person with the power.
Yes, absolutely. And I've, through my understanding and my journey of this, I've realized that on top of this, that my mother did have narcissistic tendencies and, which kind of really amplified. One of the things was I had no inner sense of self or direction or guidance. My mother would always tell me, every time I would try to have a relationship or connect with someone, because what does that narcissistic person want? want. They want you to be at their mercy, under their control. So it was, religion was used to say, oh no, Cassandra, the Lord told me that they are not the person for you. The Lord told me, you know, over and over. And here I am. I mean, I wanna please my mother. I wanna please the Lord, you know, so I had no understanding of how to hold a relationship even. And, you know, so it influences every single area of your life. And it's so destructive, because when you have people using, as you said, being in that position of power, they want you to remain in that position. And so until you decide to, as you say, turn left, you know, and go another direction and explore that, there's no hope of change.
Let me take that a step forward. It's even the understanding that you need to actually do that before you will even
do
it. We have a case in this country, in the United Kingdom, which has broken my heart again and again. We had a young girl who, when she was 16, just turned 16, went off to join an ISIS fighting
group
or something. And with the whole concept of how fundamentalist that process was, and had three children, and I think all three died in war and, you know, refugee camps. And this poor girl is now 19 or 20. And we're not letting her back in the country because she should know better or something. And I'm like, you know, I listen to you and I think of her, and it's like, oh, well, do you approve of what happened? No, well, how could you even conflate the two? There's a child here who was brought up to approve and approve and approve and be approved of, be approved of, be approved of, and continued that to an extreme, and had no way out. This is something I want you to talk about. You know, it's impossible to understand there's another way when you're in this, right?
Yeah, and I think it comes from conversations just like these. I will say, unfortunately, at the time that I went through this journey of deconditioning these things, I did not find many resources. I found it difficult to find people that are willing to talk about it, which is why I, you know, started my own podcast and started to share my story. Because until we have people bringing awareness and talking about it, it is hard. I can still remember in my experience, it was actually a church member that started to invite questioning within me and started to, invite my mind to explore the dysfunction that I was experiencing at home. And it was at that point that I then decided to move out at the age of 18, because I had these realizations. Up until then, even my brother would see how my parents would treat me and would encourage me to stand up for myself or to speak up. And I would justify my parents' behavior. I would explain.
Wait. How do you develop, I mean, honestly, the balls at 18, that's a very technical term, the balls to walk out of that kind of scenario?
You know, that's a good question.
Honestly, that's holy intervention.
That's
tough, babe.
And that's the thing. I don't think I have an answer for you. I think it might be possible. Yeah, I think it might be possible that there's a part of each and every one of us that, you know, when we open that door, like I said, you know, that one connection I had was an opportunity. And I think that when we give the universe that one open door, that then we become sort of, I like to call it divinely guided or led. You know, that was my first moment. Now, the sad part about it is, even though I did it, it wasn't until my spiritual awakening when I was 40 that I started to deconstruct everything that I was raised in, so, and understand it.
Tell me about your spiritual awakening.
Yeah, so it was fairly recent in 2021. And I wish there was some explanation, but really it was just during a solar eclipse, and literally overnight I became a different person. Which is complicated to even describe.
We're going to go for a break. And then when we come back, you're going to tell me how you knew you were a different person. All right, we're just going to go for a break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. So how did you know you were different? You woke up and?
So it started off for me with actually astrology. I would say the best thing I could describe is one day I was living as the person still consumed with fear from my upbringing, wanting to please and be accepted and be good and go to heaven and all of those things. And then the next day, I was talking about astrology like I had studied it for years.
No,
it was
love.
Yes,
that. You had like downloaded all this information,
all of it. Yes, and
well, that
it was
would take out your average religious fundamentalist Christian, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. And
that's not a shooting offense, because that's just a phrase in this country. We don't actually.
Yeah. Yeah. but yeah, it just was like, I see it as all of this divine wisdom, you could say, either was downloaded or could have possibly risen from my soul's essence of who I was and the journey.
Wherever the
wisdom was. You know, once again, that moment, that pivotal moment. And I had a friend that I had, worked with very closely for 3 years, the next day come in my presence, and she was blown away. She says, you feel different, your energy is different, you talk different, you know, everything about you is different. I've been married 20 years. My husband also had to go through the same transition, because who he married wasn't who I was that next day.
So and that was like having had a walk-in or something.
You know, I'm very familiar with that term that you've mentioned. And I myself have, intuitively wondered, because it was so completely drastic. As of this point, I don't know if if it is or isn't, but that's a perfect word to describe the drastic shift and what took place after it.
So interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what took after it was the deconstruction of my religious upbringing. And the first thing I can remember is calling my brother and saying, Brandon, would you believe that everything, there was so much that happened before Christianity. We were raised, we didn't believe in the dinosaurs, because that was man-made, made up, because there's no dinosaurs in the Bible. So that's just the devil's ploy to confuse us. And I remember my husband laughing and thinking, well, that's really naive. But I you know, once again, you know, back to that upbringing. So I never questioned anything. And when I realized there were 2,000 years of, you know, learning about the Sumers and, you know, all of these things, Hindu religion and, you know, Buddhism, like all of this came before Christianity. And I never even knew of it. I had which is sad.
But people don't know about it. It's actually, it's a really interesting concept because it's not common. It's just not common knowledge.
And you know, I can remember feeling
the narrative, I think.
Yeah. And I can remember feeling in that moment, you know, when I was younger, you know, I did what I was told, but I would say I never felt connected to the fundamentalist Christian narrative. I never really felt connected, but I was so afraid, more so of all of the other conditioning, that I didn't ask questions because that's how we were taught.
How are you going to ask?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to ask a slightly difficult question because, you know, why not? Because that's what
I'm for it. Yeah.
You have been freaking amazing, Cassandra. Is there an obvious link between white supremacists and Christian fundamentalism? Or that everybody's a Christian fundamentalist is white usually.
You know what? I strongly believe there, I feel like there is a connection, because I think it started off back when, you know, when we look at the religious crusades and all of the things in our history, that I think that my personal belief is that these things were taken out of context and used for the agenda of man.
Yeah,
I absolutely believe that. And it's unfortunate because I've watched firsthand how many people that have that very set religious perspective that, you know, anytime we're looking at it and saying, this is the only way, this is the right way, there are no other considerations, and if you don't accept this way, then you're evil and you're going to hell. You know, anytime you're so fixated on there being absolute one way that you hold that control over somebody, that's not good. Yeah. that's dangerous.
That's it. I was going to say it's also not appropriate, let alone good.
Yes.
But it's a very tame word for how awful. They have this, what's the phrase? Absolute power corrupts.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I was mentioning when I was talking about, you know, my perspective, even though I couldn't connect, you know, I felt like, based on how I was raised, I thought to myself, okay, well, if Christianity was the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth and, you know, all of this, I'm like, well, okay, I suppose if that's the beginning of all, then anything else was false God. So they, you know, teach us. So you can imagine when I realized that 2,000 plus years of so much wisdom that came prior to this man-made interpretation of the Bible and how religion was used.
My whole issue with fundamentalism is that it requires so much suspension of belief, of obvious credo and
yes,
and history in order for it to be real, you know?
Yes.
That's the thing that annoys me about it. It's like, well, yeah, if we could all believe that, but it would be a fairly easy thing to believe, then I'm down with this. But the fact that you have to contort yourself so much to believe it and control so much, you know, this is the thing that troubles me. You have been a phenomenal guest. I have really enjoyed talking to you because I think you have an immense bravery about you. And honestly, Cassandra, that bravery is so inspiring because it takes so much courage as a woman to say, I refuse to do what you want. I want to do what I want, because societal approval is such a big deal. Cultural approval is such a big deal for a woman. Now, when you add on that, the third layer of fundamentalism to it and make that layer come in, you have literally fought your way out of so much, which, you know, obviously, you know, you don't need me to tell you. I'm kind of trying to overlay it because the courage that takes. And the voice that you have created out of it is something that deeply inspires me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I feel very seen.
Yeah. I totally see that. And I really am grateful that you came on and that we had this conversation. How do we direct people to hearing more from you?
Absolutely. So I would say I'd love to direct to my podcast. Mm-hmm. I share a lot of information there. My podcast is Things I Talk About. I'd like to talk. And if you want to learn more about me, you could also go to my website, which is my name, Cassandra Deann, and that's DEANN.com.
Amazing. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
So this was the wonderful Cassandra Deann, whose name I finally got right at the end of the show, because, you know, one should really at some stage. And I hope you guys were left interested by that conversation. We're left inspired. We're left thinking and questioning, because, you know, I honestly, truly believe in life that the most powerful thing that we can do in life is to ask not only the most powerful questions, but then hear those answers, because that is what a powerful conversation is. And the right powerful conversation can and should be transformative, and in fact will be transformative. And this was something that I didn't realize filled a need in me to be able to have this conversation. So I hope it helps you in the same way it helped me. And please do go and look up Cassandra Deann, because, you know, as you've heard, she's a really interesting, unique kind of being. And it would be more good to hear more from her, right? My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. My show you have just been listening to is Activate Yourself. And I look forward to having you join me again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.